task. Imagine we are in this building for 1 year already. Hallelujah. Really the grace of God, and really we can't be here without the love and generosity of the leadership of LGCC. Today we want to welcome the pastor and the board members, Power Worship. Let's welcome them. And other friends and special guests, how many of you like the video? Hey, yeah. Thanks, Anton, for the hard work. And just in case you don't know what was happening, we start with our first service, working all the way back to our first service in ECU in 2008. And I notice every time we keep going back, I got fatter. What does it say? It means you guys have been working me to my bones. You know, and but isn't God great that after so many years, we are still part of the body, and we really want to thank God for those people in the past, in the present, even for the future that's coming up, to be part of this journey that none of us can do it alone. And really, we need to thank one another for being a church family, for a people of God, that we really love God and do the works of God. So turn to your neighbor and say, thank you very much, you know, because you are part of it. All right. And part of it, and I know that we just have a good meal, and I know food coma is setting in for some of us, and I'm going to keep sermon short today. That's why I write it in notes. You know, I'll be going on and on and on. And my sermon topic today is your attitude determines your altitude. Your attitude determines your altitude. This did not originate from me. It came from John Maxwell. It was from one of his leadership books talking about the importance of having good attitude. How many of us have good attitude? Wow, two of us. Very good. Now, how far you go in life, how far you go in life begins with how much you want to move with God in life. Amen? How far you want to go in life begins how much you want to move with God in life. And people who dare to pursue their God-given dreams seldom get lost. It is not the destination. It is the journey. And when you are on this journey with God, I'll tell you, it is your greatest safeguard. People who follow God's heart to where He is leading seldom get lost. And when we are in the middle of God's will, it is the safest place on earth. Even everything around us can be chaotic and challenging. And many times you realize God don't want us to be in control. He wants to be the one who sovereignly controls every circumstances that He brings forth His perfect plan in our life. To pursue after God doesn't mean there's no pushback. If you want to pursue after God's purpose in your life, there will be pushback like discouragement, like problems and challenges, or bad investment, sometimes even bad friends or bad timing. But your attitude determines your altitude. In fact, years ago when I saw this phrase, I love it so much, I wrote it and I paste it on the wall in front of my kids' bedroom. And every day I was like a mantra, your attitude determines your altitude, using my preacher's voice, right? Because I tell them again and again to Amanda and Ned, how far you go in life begins how determined you are to pursue God's purpose for you. Once we are in Christ, right, we are all have been given the Holy Spirit. Amen? And once you have the Holy Spirit, you already have the right spirit. So all of us already have the right spirit. Everything we live for or do flows from this reality that we have in Jesus, that Christ is at work in us, that He is the one working in us that we will do His perfect will. But most time, whether you agree or not, it is our attitude that gets into the way of God. Right? God has given us the right spirit. He has given us the Holy Spirit to live in us. But what is important for us to understand, we need to work on our attitude so that we can pursue what God sets before us. At this time, let me introduce to you two different characters from Acts chapter 5 and how their attitude determines their rise and fall. We will look at chapter 4, closing and verse 36. Thus Joseph, if you look, can you see that? Okay, it's too far. I'll do it from here better. Now, the full numbers of those who believe were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what were sold and laid at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means sons of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and lay it at the apostles' feet. In chapter 5, it opens. But a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge, he kept back from himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and said, and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came upon all them who heard it. So here we see two persons being introduced to us by Luke. One is Barnabas, the other is Ananias and Sapphira. I think it's important that, as I say, God has given us the Holy Spirit. All of us already have a right spirit. Next slide tells you, a right spirit is God's gift to us. A right spirit is God's gift to us. But a right attitude is our gift to God. Agree? So you and I must bear in mind, in short, you and I own our attitude. No one can work on our attitude except ourselves. But God has given us the right spirit, so God is empowering us to journey with Him, to let His word speak to us, to let the Spirit work in us, so that we can have a right attitude. And what sort of attitude do we have? Paul tells us in Philippians, right, that our attitude should be like that of Jesus Christ. Dennis, can we have the next slide, please? Next one. Right, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 11, this is the Philip's version. It says, let Christ himself be your example as to what your attitude should be. For he who had always been God by nature did not cling to his prerogatives as God's equal, but stripped himself of all privilege by consenting to be a slave by nature and being born as mortal man. And having become man, he humbled himself by living a life of utter obedience, even to the extent of dying. And the death he died was the death of a common criminal. That is why God has now lifted him so high and has given him the name beyond all names, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, whether in heaven or earth or under the earth. And that is why in the end, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So what sort of attitude we must have? It must be the same as Jesus. Amen. Jesus, though he was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he took on a position of a slave and he died a death of a criminal. You and I, once we are in Christ, in our positions, we are honored sons and daughters of the Almighty. Hallelujah. But in posture, the way we serve, we are all humble servants of God. So in position, our position never changed. We are always the sons and daughters of God. This is our identity. But in our service, in our ministry, we act and behave like humble servants of the Most High. You see, Jesus is never against greatness. Remember in the gospel how the disciples were arguing among themselves who is the greatest in God's kingdom, and they cannot settle the argument, and finally they came to Jesus and said, Jesus, tell us, who is the greatest among us? And Jesus said, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, you must be servants to all. In God's kingdom, it is a reverse economy. God's kingdom, when we are great, is not because we are famous or we are all powerful, that we have all the gifts and talents and abilities, but rather in God's kingdom, where we are able to present our weakness and choose to walk in the humility to serve others, this is how God defines us as great. Amen. That's why Jesus looked at the widow who gave the mite, said, that woman has given more than every rich man has put into the coffers. And this is how the kingdom defined the people of God, not by our finesse or abilities, but our willingness to serve each other. So Barnabas is a fine example of how your attitude determines your altitude. His name was called Joseph. But he was so well known among the disciples that he had a huge piece of land. He sold it, and then all the proceeds he laid at the apostles' feet for it to be redistributed, to be given to the poor amongst the people in the church. And he was so generous that the apostle named him Barnabas. In fact, everyone from that day knew, remember him as Barnabas. Everyone forgotten his birth name, which was Joseph. Now, you must bear in mind, we live in a time we are not encouraged to give each other nicknames. If you try to give someone a nickname, it can be a form of bullying. Right? In those days, or my days when I was growing up, it was okay to call people nicknames. Skinny, fatty, ugly, but cannot now. But in biblical time, if you study the history of nicknames in biblical times, nicknames were not given according to your physical traits. Rather, it was given according to the inner qualities of a person. That's why when Jesus saw Simon, he said, your name is called Peter. Because Simon was always shaky, but he calls him Peter because he's going to be steady as a rock. When he saw these two young brothers, James and John, Jesus nicknamed what? Sons of thunder. I don't know what actually it means, but I think they're rather loud. You can hear them before you can see them. Right, and now we come to Barnabas. He was called son of encouragement. The word Barnabas means the son of encouragement. In fact, if you read in Hebrew, it's called son of Nabi. Nabi means a prophet. There is always something prophetic when we encourage people. Do you agree? When someone do not spend time catching you doing wrong, but they spend time affirming you. They say, I can see qualities in you. I can see beauty in you. I can see greatness in you. Do you not understand it's prophetic? Next time you see the person, what the person says about you manifests itself because what the person has said to you becomes an encouragement, becomes a strength. In the Greek word for encouragement is called paraklesis, which means to the one who come alongside or the one who stands by you. And it is the same word used to describe the Holy Spirit. He's a paraclete. He's the one who comes with us, he is a comforter. And so there is a prophetic element in encouragement, but there is also a comforting dimension in encouragement. Do you agree? How many of us need encouragement? Okay, start looking for the Barnabases in our house. Right. If it was not for Barnabas who stood alongside with a rejected believer that has a questionable past like Paul, or a failed missionary like John Mark, you know, Paul would have never achieved what he achieved, right? And John Mark would not have gone about becoming a gospel writer. We need to have Barnabases in our life. Do you know LGCC is First Light Barnabas? Amen? Can I have an amen? Some of you are in doubt. They are Barnabas. And it has been a year since we relocated here, and this new move has provided us with plenty of opportunity to grow and to thrive as a church family. And one thing I want to say to Pastor Liu and to the leaders of LGCC, everything that First Light achieve from now on, the credit is on you guys. Whatever we achieve in God's kingdom, you're going to have a share in it. Now, I'm not saying this because they are here. Actually, I'm saying this because they are here. Because we've got 4 more years in our lease to go, so better behave, people. But really, this is kingdom connection. How God brought us together, you know, there's a lot of things God was doing even long before we came to the scene. But God connected us, and I praise God that even in Perth, in this city alone, it's not common for two churches of different culture, different perspective can come together and serve together in God's kingdom. And just a few weeks ago, we have our first united prayer, worship and prayer. I think we are looking forward for God not just to move us. And since because they have been generous to us, God did not just only bless us, but God has blessed their people as well. I think this is important. That God has sent us people who acts to love us and care for us so that we can do the things of God. And in one sense, you know, for LGCC, their love, their generosity to serve us is a great encouragement to us. So can I ask every one of you to put your hands together and cheer them for the next good 10 seconds? Come on, give a shout and praise and give God glory. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Can you now reduce our rent? Now, Barnabas gave... I'm Asian, you know, you can just get in, you better get in. Barnabas gave freely and liberally. And later, he became an apostle together with Paul to reach the Gentiles. What can we learn here? Your attitude either open doors or close doors to your destiny. Your attitude either opens the door or closes the door to your destiny. Bad attitude keeps you stuck and can even stop you from fulfilling what God wants you to fulfill. That's why we have a sharp contrast in the example of Ananias and Sapphira. Right? And this irony, this Ananias that I'm going to talk about is not the same Ananias Sang talked about 2 weeks ago. Right, this is the bad Ananias. You know, in Acts, there's two Ananias. This is the bad one, right? And this Ananias, ironically, his name means what? God's grace. And his wife means Sapphira, which means as beautiful or as precious as a gem, right? But somehow you notice, Luke did not record any nickname for them. If you are bad, no nickname. If you are good, got nickname. So what does he say? Maybe in our church, we should start giving each other good nicknames. Go to your life group, go to 3-2-1. Do I have a nickname? Do you have a nickname for me? If no one have a nickname for you, you know where you stand. All right. Now, it takes a long sermon to discuss why they died, okay? But this is not today's context, okay? I will find another time to explain to you why they died. But today, what I'm going to tell you guys is the example of Ananias and Sapphira are example for us as genuine believers, not to do. Not to do, right? They literally dropped dead or literally dropped out of church because they couldn't lie to God regarding their motive. Now, you must bear in mind, and this is why I want to bring this here, is how do I maintain a right attitude? The answer is very simple. Write it down. Keep practicing grace and learning to love like Jesus. Keep practicing grace and learn to love like Jesus. One thing about First Light, since the day we became a church, two things we always talk about. These are the two great pillars of First Light. One is the gospel of grace. The other is always about mission. These two go together. They are two sides of the same coin. We cannot preach the gospel without mission, and we cannot talk about the mission of God without presenting to people the grace of God. Amen? And this is important. And You know, and what we need to do as people, sometimes we'll meet people with bad attitude. And what we need to do as individuals or as a body of Christ is always to keep practicing grace and learning to love like Jesus. And some of you may say, you know, Pastor, I don't have any bad attitude. Oh, good on you, man. But just in case, if you're not delusional, let me give you some example, right? In the context of Ananias and Sapphira, I know one thing. God loves us enough to deal with our bad attitude. If you go through the whole Bible, you go especially to the gospel, even through Paul's letter, God knows we all have bad attitude. Not because we have the right spirit, but sometimes there's still need of a renewing of the mind, that we need to have a right attitude that go aligned with the right spirit. And God loves us enough to deal with our bad attitude. And God often will use others to show things in our life that we need to work on. Areas that we can grow or areas we need really the extra grace of God for transformation. How many of you agree with that? We need people around us to do that. And you know, I discovered something. When I was single, I'm perfect. I have no fault. Until I got married and suddenly I had a lot of revelation. How come you throw your socks everywhere? How come you throw your shoe everywhere? How come you throw this everywhere? Oh, and there wasn't the Holy Spirit. Right? Actually, I tell you, when I first married Joanne, she was very quiet. But I brought out the boldness in her. Yeah? It's all to my credit. You know, and this can go for any one of us. Some of us may not know we have anger issue until we meet someone who seems to have a calling to make us angry. Don't look to your corner. Don't look. Look straight at me. Right. You never knew you were impatient until you meet this person. You always thought you had it together until you see the person and literally all hell's break loose for you. That person acts like a virus. But when you deal or let them deal with you, I'll tell you, you will build immunity over anger, over impatience, right? Over all kinds of things. I think this is what a community is. We don't need the Ananias and Sapphira because we don't want people to literally drop out of church that way. But we need a lot of Barnabas that come along as prophetic, as comforting, to turn us around to fulfill what God asks us to fulfill. Amen? See, we are all empowered with the attitude of Christ so that we can embrace a new mindset about people. I mean, let me start with myself. I mean, some of you really, I need to say this, you get on my nerve? You do? But I still turn out on Sundays. And this was an attitude I had about some people. And one day, I was complaining to God. Oh, but we don't complain. But I pray for you guys. And the Lord says to me one thing. Have you start praying for them? Interesting. God said, have you start praying for them? And I start to pray for people, especially those who really get on my nerve. And guess what? I developed a new mindset. I began to see them as God sees them. I began to see them as God loves them. And that changes me. I began to realize why they are like that, because God shows me what was in their heart, what was with them, and God most importantly showed me what was with my heart. You see, and this is important because, you know, when we begin to pray for people, God will begin to show us things we never see before. And that will change our attitude. And then our attitude will take that relationship with that person to a high altitude. Amen? This is important. And we need to ask God to help us with our attitude when we come to serve. All of us serve with the right spirit. That's not an issue. But it's a person you serve with will show you whether you have the right attitude. And sometimes, like it or not, we're going to stand on each other's toes. But before you get angry, upset, pray. Ask God to show you and empower you with a new mindset. You see, what is important in terms of our service is this. All too often, when faced with the sadness and suffering of others, now we rush to offer comfort in order to ease our own discomfort. Now, when we see people in problems or struggling, sometimes we help. And we have good intention to help. That's good. But sometimes we do it because we feel uncomfortable. We don't like what we are feeling as to help the person. But the thing is this. While we know that we are motivated by good intention, too often we want to relieve the awkwardness. We want to relieve the rawness of the pain or suffering of others because we feel uncomfortable. So we want to give advice, we want to solve problems, we want to fix what is broken as much as to relieve our own discomfort as to genuinely help the other person hurt. We want to what I call manage people. We want to fix people. But we must learn to be like Jesus. When Jesus served and ministered to people, it was not because he felt uncomfortable for them. Rather, when Jesus healed people, helped people, it starts because he came to love them first. We need to learn to be like Jesus. You know, Jesus invites us to come alongside, to identify with those who are suffering and join them in their mourning or losses. And this is scriptural. Romans 12, 15 says to us, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Can the worship team please come forward? I think this is important for us in how we minister. We don't serve because we feel uncomfortable. We don't help or we pray for people, try to fix people. Please, church, don't try to fix people. Just love people, support them. God will fix them, but sometimes they just need you to come alongside with them, just to journey with them, just to be with them, identify with their pain and suffering, and join Jesus. Join Jesus. Don't do this by yourself because I feel uncomfortable for that person, but rather join Jesus. Learning to rejoice with those who are rejoicing and cry with those who are crying. And this is a challenge for us in closing. Jesus is calling us to serve alongside him. He is already doing his work in the lives of those around us. What is important is we need to have his attitude. Your attitude determines your altitude. Let's all rise and let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your precious word, for your truth that is made perfect in your love. Church, I just want us to raise our hands and offer ourselves once again. Since we celebrate 13 years of God's kindness and goodness, it's because many years ago, a group of us raised our hands and said, Lord, we are willing to step up in faith. The same God who asked us to step up in faith today is giving the same challenge to every one of us. Are you willing to step up in faith? Are you willing to love the broken? To support the hurting? To bring healing? Not because you feel uncomfortable for yourself, seeing their suffering, but because you know the love of God has called you to make a difference. Help people because you love them. Not because you want to take away your guilty feeling or the awkwardness that you have. So raise your hands once again and say, Lord, I receive that fresh call again. A fresh call of that right attitude. It is my gift to you, Father. It is my gift to you from this day on as I serve with my brothers and my sisters. Never by my own strength, never by my own way, but your way. And the Lord is now calling us to respond. He's calling us to say yes. Yes, Lord, whatever it takes for your glory's sake. Amen. Let us sing our closing song.